Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
That's the way we started the show, talking about the Giants and the changed landscape in the NFC East. Not that I think the Giants are going to win the NFC East. I don't, but I do think that people can expect the Giants to compete at a much better level in the NFC East. I just think the next two games are going to be very challenging for the Giants here, specifically this Sunday. Forget about the next game against the Eagles on the road this Sunday in Denver. Now, you know me, maybe I'm more of a believer in Denver than most. I mean, I was saying last week, I think they're one of the best teams in the NFL, or certainly the best team in the AFC. I think when we did the power rankings on Thursday, I had them number two behind the Lions. Yeah. So that would add up. Now, they played an ugly game against the Jets. I do think that the Jets' defense deserves credit, but Denver's defense, Nick Benito, he is an absolute beast, maybe the best player, a defensive player in the league right now.
Big season so
that,
far.
That'll be a fun matchup to watch him and Andrew Thomas go at it. But if the Giants could win this game, that would, to me, just take them to another level immediately that I don't think they're ready to get to yet. But if they did, then really anything is possible.
And by the way, like, so if they win, I mean, it's going to be bonkers. I don't think that they'll win. I hope that I'm wrong. But even a really competitive, and this almost seems like a loser's mentality, but I just want to, you know, at least kind of straddle the fence a little bit, of just a little warning flare of caution, because I know that they're not there yet, especially without Malik Nabers and some other issues on around the team just here and there. They're not a team that's ready to win 10 or 11 games. And that's okay. It doesn't mean you can't get lucky, or the other teams can't stumble, or maybe I'm off in my assessment. But you get if you get a competitive four-quarter game and Jackson Dart really looks the part again, I mean, even in defeat, Giant fans should be pumped up.
Yeah, I mean, look at the landscape of the NFC East. They just beat the Eagles and beat them pretty badly. The Cowboys aren't any good. I think the Giants are better than them already right now, even with the loss in Week 2. Obviously, Jackson Dart changes everything. Cowboys can't stop a nosebleed. And I don't think the Commanders are as good as everybody else has. As a matter of fact, I might think the Commanders are better than the Eagles, or at least on par with them, but I don't think the gap from where they are to where the Giants are is as great as it was coming into the year. Mario is calling from Long Beach. What's up, Mario?
What's going on, guys? Good show.
Thanks.
Yeah, I think what you said is cool. We have to pump the brakes a little bit. Think positive, but be realistic, you know. I looked up the odds on them to win the division. You know what they are right now?
2001.
Betting on 1,700.
That close.
Now, you know what the odds are for them to win these next two games? Because that's what you've been talking about.
What? You have that? What?
Yep, I have it. What would you guess?
2,500 to 1.
1,478.
Okay. Not close.
Yeah, I mean, there's 6.5-point underdogs in Denver, so I don't know how you would even get odds on Bolt winning the next two, but that's interesting.
You can. You can parlay. You can put the games together, and you can make any bet you want.
Oh, I see what you said. Okay. Interesting.
It's a back-to-back. But so what? Yeah, so what I wanted to say is that it's going to take a little time, but I like what I see. And I think what they're going to have to worry about at the end is competitiveness is the key. But don't you think, and I'll let you answer this question, and I'll listen to your answer. If they can play competitively and then get over the 5.5 games that they were supposed to win at the beginning of the season, I think that's a real good year.
Well, how much did you put on the over, Mario? That's the question that we have.
And thanks,
thanks for the call. If all you're concerned about is the 5.5 win total for the year, we understand why that's the case. I'm not going to judge them based off of the win total. I am judging them based off of what we see with... It was always, to me, going to be about Jackson Dart and Brian Daboll together.
Yeah.
And so far, through 3 weeks, with that being the combination to start, I think it's a rousing success here with what you've seen with those two together.
Yeah, I'm less concerned with the sheer volume of victories here. It'd be nice, but I mean, even 2022. I mean, think about how fooled some people were. And that was a soft schedule. I mean, you beat Tennessee, you beat Carolina, you beat a bad Bears team. You know, you just beat some bad. You beat the Texans that year by one score at home. They just had a fairly favorable schedule. The Commanders weren't good yet. The Colts weren't good. You throttled them by basically 30 points. So. And then the next year was complete regression, and it was a couple of dark years there for the Giants since. So less about the win total. Yeah, I mean, listen, you know, what were the Yankees? 89.5. I think the Mets were in the same neighborhood. Sure, I guess when you look at, you know, if you win a few more games than that and you want to say, hey, it's a slight overachievement, I guess. But to me, you just know when you have a football team that's going in the right direction. And right now it looks that way. And if you keep playing well, even if you don't win 7 or 8 games, next year is going to be fun.
Clearly, they showed already the gap has been closed. I don't think anybody could dispute that. Like, you could call up and be like, oh, come on, NFC East, it's ridiculous. Yeah, and I get that. It is ridiculous this year for a team that's 2-4, that's 1-3, 1-2 in the division, you know, that hasn't won anything in years to say that they're going to win the division. So I understand that that's ridiculous. I don't think it's ridiculous to say that the gap has been closed with these two teams, and not to mention the excitement that you should have with Jackson Dart and the way that he's looked. I mean, it has been a difference, a huge difference from what we've seen with the Giants from anything in recent years, and there is reason to believe that it's sustainable success, not just the other teams coming back down to the pack, but the Giants also elevating themselves.
I'm just looking at the standings, and yeah, there's definitely optimism here. I mean, Philly's got an issue with quarterback. They've got an issue with offense. They missed their coordinator. The Commanders, good, but it's early. We like Jordan Love. I'm just kind of bouncing around, but is he truly entrenched as a Josh Allen? No, not yet. Detroit's legit. Minnesota, whatever. Chicago, whatever. Tampa, a lot of respect. Good coach. Tough, gritty quarterback. Some injuries that they're plowing through, but certainly not amazing. Atlanta was good last night, and Penix is good, and they got some good players that you and I both like, but, you know, not amazing. The Carolina Panthers are 3-3.
Yeah.
That tells you a lot right there, and they have a -14-point differential. So the game that they're going to probably lament the most here is the Saints game, you know, but when you're in that early...
Probably the Cowboys game, even though it's without Jackson Dart. I mean, they should have won that game a million times over, the Cowboys game.
About the way they lost to the Saints. I mean, that 5-3, it was gross. I mean, that's the kind of game you're going to look back and say, you know, all right, that's a game we should have put in our back pocket. But that's also emblematic of a team that's learning how to win and very, very early in the process. It's not like they lost to the Saints at home. You know, the Superdome, even when you have an average to below average Saints team, that's a tough venue to go and play.
And the two things that you should be excited about if you're a Giant fan, that no matter what happens as far as the win losses go, number one, Jackson Dart appears to be the guy. Number two, Dable and the people in charge, and Dable said it was his decision, they made the right decision going to him when they did. I thought it was the wrong one, but clearly he, like, there's a question that comes in, what we would do in that situation with developing a young quarterback, then do we even trust that they're going to do the right thing with the young quarterback, and what are the motives and all those different things? Well, he made the right decision by going to him when he did, and he is the guy, meaning Dart. So Dable makes the right decision when to go to Dart, and Dart proves to be the guy, at least so far for 3 weeks. And I think that's the most encouraging thing about the entire organization moving forward in the short term and in the long term.
Well, think about how it could have gone. I mean, there were probably two scenarios. Let's say they didn't go to Jackson Dart yet. And I agree. I did not think they'd do it this early. And I didn't necessarily think it was the right move. I remember I was saying Chicago, week 10, whatever. But let's just say they were still running Russ out there, or they went to Jameis Winston, and they were boring and bad, and they were reluctant to play Dart. It would be about when is Dable fired? There would be zero juice to the season. That could have been one scenario. The other one could have been go to Dart when they did, which, again, in our estimation was a bit early, but he looked completely overwhelmed, and people are like, is this guy even a first-round pick? Instead, they went to him early, and he looks like a future star.
Frank is calling from Syosset. What's up, Frank?
Hey, Sal. Yeah, you know, I'm a Giants fan, so but to tell you about the Jets, I think the Tyrod Taylor was the move, Sal. He would have sparked the team. The Giants got a spark from Jackson Dart, and look how it makes Dable look. But
Taylor's not Jackson Dart. There's a big difference there. You realize that, right?
You're right. Jackson Dart's a lot younger. He's a running quarterback. I think a lot of guys, like Brian Burns, has stepped up. I think Robinson's has stepped up to replace, but make up for the loss of Malik Nabers. But if BT could find his way to put the blessing on Scataboo, I think that would really help the kid.
Love the kid. I'm throwing. Let's go. Get the holy water. Bless him. He's good.
Blessing on him, BT.
Yes. You know, I love him.
How do you do?
Yo, you want a call? Scataboo. I got to think about that one. I got to come up with something for it. I don't even know if he needs it, man. He doesn't need me. Bowling.
I was wondering what the hell he was talking about. I'm like, what blessing? What did I miss? But now you have it.
You start to see a lot of Scattaboo jerseys in the suburbs.
Yeah.
I start to already see him, man. He is a little cult legend so far. I love it.
I don't really buy jerseys anymore, but if I did.
No, I'm with the kids.
You know, I'm saying if I did, he would be a guy that I would get. Like, how could you not love that? He's ferocious. Yeah, exactly. Come on, he's looking for contact.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
I love that. He's what Jeremy Shockey thought he won. Like, Scattaboo was everything Shockey pretended to be.
Oh, come on. Shockey was tough. What do you mean pretended to be?
Oh, come on.
You didn't like Shockey?
Nah. What? No, that's what I'm saying. Everybody thought, oh, Shockey, Jeremy Shockey's a beast. I thought he was a softy pretending to be tough.
I loved Shockey.
Yeah,
come
you got sucked
on.
In, too.
No
Shockey,
way.
Come
look
on.
At some of the video putting his shoulder. Yeah. Yeah, think okay. About the first play he made. I think it was against...
Minnesota, maybe?
No. It was the Hall of Fame game, but it was against the Texans. And I just remember one of the Jets' old secondary, old safety was there. It was the first time he played. I got to look it up. And he absolutely trucked him. Come on, you're selling Shockey short. Yeah, there was a beast, man.
Oh, dude, Shockey maybe one of the more overrated players in
but
the
But that's different
the
than being tough. He was injury prone. Like he wasn't he wasn't a fake tough guy. Well, I don't disagree with him maybe getting his own way and not having this long 12-year career. But in terms of being a lunatic,
Scattaboo versus Shockey in his prime, I would take Scattaboo. Now, I'm not talking about like as far as results on the football field. I'm talking about as far as toughness.
Yeah.
Scattaboo to me is a different animal. He's a real, like at times, nut job. You don't bang your head against a cement wall if you're all there. And by the way, I don't need him to be all there. Like, I want my running back to be as tough as possible. He doesn't want to shy away from anything. He's looking for contact to run you over. Shockey may have had a moment or two. I don't think it was as reckless or as, who's that against?
This is Shockey.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
Is this it? Oh, no.
Yeah. Oh, big deal. Big deal. First of all, Shockey's bigger than Scattaboo. He's taking on a D-back that's half his size. Real tough. Shockey was a bully. That's what he was. Scattaboo's a guy who's looking for contact because he's tough as nails. Shockey was a bully. I guarantee you if Shockey saw a guy half his size, taller than him, he wouldn't be looking for the contact. Well, Scattaboo's doing that. He's searching anybody.
Well, I think, first of all, everybody's bigger than in terms of height than Scattaboo.
Well, okay.
So any smoke that he's seeking, he's going to be shorter than. But I don't, Jeremy Shockey to me was all ball. The thing that is funny, we worry about Jackson Dart getting hurt.
Yeah.
And Scattaboo's got to relax a little bit here, man.
I mean, but football players get hurt.
I know.
You start relaxing, then what's the point of having him go out there?
I get it.
You don't want to be reckless. You want to be a little smart, but you also want him to be physical and tough. Alfonso calling from Danbury, Connecticut. What's up, Alfonso?
What's up, guys? How's it going?
Good.
Great show. I love listening to you guys every morning.
Thanks,
I just want to touch base about the Giants. You know, historically with the Giants, even growing up, watching Eli Manning, Michael Strahan, and everything, they tend to have these big wins, and then the following week, they lay a goose egg. They show up in the first quarter, and then the rest of the game, they're just not pulling out the right stuff. They look out coach, or the players are just slacking off. And I get what you guys are saying. You're absolutely right. They're probably going to make out with maybe 6-7 wins this year, and they're closing the gap. They look better. They look better coached. You know, Dable and Jackson Dart are playing well together. And as a fan, you just got to take a deep breath and enjoy it. And just be prepared for next year. But you just can't go out to these games like we did with the Saints, show up in the first quarter, and then take the foot off the gas like we've done in the past.
Yeah, but Alonzo, hold on a second.
That was the Giants.
All right, little feedback there. I get it. Like, you want to see the Giants keep stacking. Understood. And I'm with you. But I don't think it's... And I'm not even sure which games you're talking about, but I do know what you mean, because the Giants didn't, even with Eli, they didn't win 13, 14 games with Eli. They lost a lot of games that were infuriating. I get that. But if the Giants lose against Denver, it's not because they let down. It's because Denver's just a lot better.
Correct. That's the thing with this particular matchup. Denver's just really freaking good. It's not like, oh, I don't know, we're going to see what the Giants... Now, maybe the Giants do lay an egg or don't play well, but that it's in part because Denver is really good. Like, the Giants, to me, aren't on Denver's level, especially going there with that defense. That is a tough ask, even if the Giants were a 12-14 win, whatever you want to say. Like, that's a difficult spot on the schedule. Not impossible. Anything's possible in the NFL today. Denver's not that good where they're that unbeatable. I just think that this is a bad matchup. At an unfortunate time. If you had this game later in the year, all right, whatever, it's a loss. But coming off of that Eagles win, winning 2 out of 3, you want to try to build momentum. The next two games, that's what I was saying, the next two games are going to be as difficult as they're going to face, because at Denver, I think, is almost an impossible spot. And then again, at Philadelphia, a team that's going to be woken up now by the way you beat them on Thursday Night Football at home, it's tough to sweep, so we'll see what happens. But these next two games to me are very difficult.
And Sunday's on the defense here. Like, I can't imagine against this Denver defense, you know, even though we love Dart and et cetera, you're not coming in and putting 30 spot on them. Right. You're not doing it. So for the Giants to win this game, I mean, of course, you could be off a couple of the points, but it feels like a 2017-ish, 21-20, if you know, maybe even lower scoring than that. If there is a route, you would think that Denver would be the one running away here. So the Giants defense, hey, Bo Nix could run. Giants defense has been a little less consistent than I want, but they're getting there. You're seeing more signs of on a week-to-week basis showing up. Go get 3-4 sacks and make it a four-quarter game.
Yeah, I think that's the way to say it, that I'm not so sure Dart is going to be able to win this game on his own. I think Denver's defense is going to slow him down, if not shut him down. Giants defense, though, still can win the game if they're playing at their peak. Marco calling from Jersey City. What's up, Marco?
Yo, what's up, guys?
Hey.
Yo, Sal, you know what's funny? Before the draft started a couple years ago, I was the only one that called in saying the Jets need to draft Michael Penix Jr. And, you know, you said no way you do that with the 12th pick. If you want to trade down, go for it. And I wanted to say I told you so. I know it's kind of irrelevant since we never got on the clock. But look, your Falcons got him before we even had the chance.
Yeah, first of all, I don't recall the call. The Jets were in a totally different situation, though, than the Atlanta Falcons
were. Yeah,
but
look who we got. Yeah. What did we get? A lineman, a serviceable lineman.
Yeah, but that could help you build moving forward. And there's no guarantees. It's not. But you're going back years, first of all, Marco.
So I know.
Is your point? And by the way, they didn't pass on Penix.
I know. We never had the chance to.
Correct. So, I'm not sure what your point is. I mean, you want to talk about Drake May, too? Did you want Drake May? I mean,
my point is that as a Jets fan, you learn to lower your expectations. So, I kind of just want something to look forward to. And I don't see anything in the next 2 to 3 years to look forward to.
I just wanted
to say, imagine if we had Michael Penix Jr.
Okay, so let's play it out. Let's play out the hypothetical. Yeah. Let's say that the Jets selected Michael Penix Jr. They traded up for him, he fell to them, whatever. What do you think would be happening with Penix Jr. and the Jets over the last couple of seasons? Or whatever, last year and this year?
I think we'd be winning games.
They'd ruin him. He wouldn't be here.
He'd be the starting quarterback.
Mario, let me give you the right answer. They'd ruin him.
Yeah, Marco, pardon me. Yeah, it's okay.
But look, he's a big dude. He can take hits. He's a composed quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
is he better than Sam Darnold?
Yeah, way better than Sam Darnold.
Is he better than Aaron Rodgers?
I think he's going to be better than Sam Darnold.
Is he better than Aaron Rodgers?
Aaron Rodgers is done.
Look
at Russell Wilson last year, and look at him now. Anybody makes the Steelers look good, dude.
He's playing
pretty well. Come on, you got to give him a little respect there. Aaron Rodgers, the disrespect is ridiculous.
Russell Wilson didn't make the Steelers look good. That's why they moved on. And they went and got Aaron Rodgers, and Aaron Rodgers doing things already in 6 weeks that Russell Wilson didn't do at all. So to answer your question, in the hypothetical, and I don't recall the call, I'm sure that maybe you loved Penix, but at the time the Jets were not looking for a quarterback, and even if they did get him, it would have been a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how could you not see that? They ruined Sam Darnold. They've ruined head coaches. Aaron Rodgers couldn't succeed here. You think Michael Penix would have come here and had success? I'm not saying that you wouldn't want a quarterback to have that hope, but you've had plenty of quarterbacks before. You've ruined them all. So there's no way Penix, who, by the way, is not even great with Atlanta yet.
He also said that, you know, no hope for the next 2-3 years. And listen, because it's the Jets, that's probably a pretty safe statement to unleash here. Understand, Think about where the Giants were before the season. Think about where the Giants were after the Commanders game. Now, there's a lot of hope or possibility for Dort, but it takes one quarterback, the right one, and things change on a dime.
Think about also the foundation. Now, Penix hasn't even been good. I mean, he's been okay, and he's shown flashes.
Yeah, I got to watch him a little bit more. Yeah. I liked him at Indiana. I know he tore up his knee. I've always liked him.
I think he's got potential to be good. Look at these surroundings. First of all, they finally built a defense with the Jets' former head coach in Ulbrich. They finally built a top defense, which is something they haven't had for years. They also have the best running back in the game in Bijan Robinson. They have Drake London, who's one of the best young receivers.
They got some weapons for him.
Like, they've got weapons all over the place. And they have had a banged up offensive line, which I think has hurt him at times. But either way, like, come on. You can't just say, well, the Jets would have taken him and it would have been great. You could have wanted them, but unfortunately with the Jets, even if they had him, he would have been a disaster.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's Boomer
and Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.